As we've seen things across the country, in Minnesota, money going towards these non-existent daycares, as our CFO has shined a light on the billions of waste and abuse across the state, especially at the local level, taxpayer dollars not being spent in the best interest of our taxpayers, as the public at home has questions and loses trust in our government officials, the public servants that are supposed to be operating with the trust of the people, fighting and working for the people. We felt the need to develop a unit focused on this specifically.
Well, who better to head that up than James Uthmeyer, the Attorney General of the state of Florida?
At the end of the day, taxpayer dollars are sacred. And here in Florida...
I'm sorry, but... where to start? Okay, well, Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2, and he joins me now. And Alex, I know you are familiar both with the Derek Ham interview that James did yesterday. We played some of that, answering the questions about the $100,000 side gig that James Uthmeyer has from the University of Florida to teach a two-hour week course in the fall and the spring in the law school. Of course, there's the $10 million redirect of money from Medicaid funds given back to the state into the political action campaign that James Uthmeyer was overseeing at the time to fight the propositions last fall. Questions apparently remain about how he travels to and fro in Tallahassee and Jacksonville. Welcome back to the show, Alex. Good to have you.
Good morning, peasants.
Oh, you got me. That's good. I fell over. I did. I fell over when I saw this announcement yesterday. Is that the answer to the teaching massive overpayment and the $10 million side shuffle is, you know what? I'm going to announce the public corruption unit, and we're going to watch over everybody's money across the state and audit everybody, including lawmakers. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. I thought I thought yesterday was gaslighting. So
yeah. Remember, I don't know if you watch Breaking Bad ever, but remember like Jesse Pinkman tells Walter White, you don't need a criminal lawyer. You need a criminal lawyer. And that's all I keep thinking about, like James Uthmeyer, like man, you know exactly where to start to find some misused taxpayer funds, don't you?
The newspaper the other day was, you know, if this course is about governmental overreach, well, you have an expert in residence teaching about it. So I guess here, you know, he knows where to look to find the stuff. He knows how to find it.
But I'm hopeful. If I didn't believe in the property tax proposal that we passed with the House floor yesterday, Andrew, hearing that James Uthmeyer needed that extra $100,000 to feed his kids was justification that we absolutely needed tax relief here in Florida.
I wasn't sure if I was going to have a chance to play this, but in case you didn't hear it yesterday.
I've been a public servant since I was a young lawyer, and when you have a growing family and three kids, you got to look for other ways to keep the lights on and keep food on the table.
Which... if you only make $160,000 as the attorney general, obviously you need a $100,000 part-time gig teaching law at UF for just to be able to keep the lights and the food going.
Yeah, and my favorite part of yesterday's press conference was he refused to answer whether or not the taxpayers are footing the bill for his commute to Gainesville every week. I'm still not sure if he flies or he drives. He says he drives, but he refused to answer whether or not he has a Attorney General's office staff member and Attorney General's office car drive.
Alex? Oh, I don't even hear myself in the... Is he there? Oh, something weird has happened. I cannot hear him now. So, that's fantastic. You know what? My little... Can you hear me? All right, good. Let's just switch this with the headphones.
You guys there?
Yeah, I am here now, man. we have a funny little device here that it just decides to malfunction periodically. And that's the nature.
Oh, okay.
So I know I can hear you fine. The audience could hear you fine. Anyway, let's move from James Uthmeyer to actual things that I mean, I think this matters. This is going to be national news. I would not be surprised if this winds up. Some of this stuff winds up being national news. It's so amazing. The property tax proposal that got passed yesterday. Tell me what it does and what it does not do, because I do have some questions.
Oh yeah, so essentially, it incrementally raises the property tax exemption until it fully eliminates homestead property ad valorem taxes, I think in about a decade. So it's an incremental increase. It prohibits reductions in law enforcement and firefighter funding. Andrew, I heard your questions earlier this morning on the radio.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect MSBUs or MSTUs because it only affects the ad valorem portion of your property taxes.
Got it. Okay, so it would get rid of all the non-school board ad valorem taxes, but it wouldn't affect MSBUs and MSTUs, which of course often go to fire or law enforcement or whatever, because they're not ad valorem. Okay, that makes sense. And it's a stair step. It's a gradual. It's not an immediate. It's a 10-year phase in. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, because I was thinking to myself, I know Alex and Michelle, of course, know that locally, I mean, that'd be the death blow to our two counties if we got rid of MSTU and MSBU. But okay, so I'm glad that that's the nature of it. And what's the Senate doing? As far as I can tell, the Senate has basically slow walked all of this.
Nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. That's what I thought.
And with DeSantis, bro, you've had a year. Where's your plan? He's saying we don't need to rush this. Well, November's coming. Ron, like, put some pen to paper, put your big boy pants on, and actually draft something. You've had more than a year to propose this. You're the one that brought this up. Do your job. Like, if you wanted this, and now you're griping about the fact that we're the only ones doing it, do your job. The Florida House is the only one that's put forward any type of property tax relief at this point.
Yeah, Alex, what I can't figure out is, If you were creating a bunch of drama around property taxes with the stated goal to say one thing and then do nothing, I can't see how that benefits the governor. I can understand the Senate not being on board, but it's kind of felt like the Senate was on the governor's side against you guys, and yet they're not either producing an alternative. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you both agree on a joint resolution to go to the November ballot, it just goes to the ballot. The governor has a say in that, right?
Right. I don't know why the Senate's acting like the department, like an agency of the governor. The Senate needs to act like the Senate. And if they don't want to do it, stop deferring to the governor. They keep saying we're deferring to the governor. And the governor says it's better to get it right than do it fast. Well, dude, you've had a year. It is 2026. 2026 is when this will be on the ballot. If you actually wanted this, put on your big boy pants and put something out there. It's like, is he afraid of criticism? Or was this all a sham?
Well, I try to walk that through. Like, if it was all just smoke, what would be the purpose of that?
So, you know how I've said before that I think the government largely is far more like Veep than House of Cards?
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I think DeSantis and the children in his office thought this is going to be brilliant. We're going to eliminate property taxes in Florida. And they forgot that we're constitutionally obligated to fund public schools. And it's not as sexy and exciting to the base if you eliminate everything but the school ad valorem, right?
Right.
And so when they finally realized, oh, no, we're constitutionally obligated to fund public schools and we don't have the money to backfill the FEFP if we eliminate school property taxes, well, then, shoot, this is no longer exciting, but we've already put ourselves out there. I think the children in the governor's office forgot that we're constitutionally obligated to fund public schools.
That just seems so – how could anybody forget that? That's such a glaring mistake. That's why I'm kind of
– We're not sending our best, Andrew.
Okay. All right. Because, yeah, if the rationale is the one that I have repeatedly said and what the governor has said is, why do you have to continually rent your land from the government? Well, that applies to the school slice just as much as to the county or the city slice or anything else. But yet once you realize
– Totally agree.
Oh, goodness. You know, I mean, if that's the rationale, then you got to get rid of all of them. And then if you discover you can't get rid of some of them, then you've got to, what have we done? So I don't have a better theory. I hate to believe there's so little competence that that is the real story, but I don't have a better theory, so I can't explain it either. Budget. You guys passed a budget, right?
Yes, we passed the budget off the House floor. We got it ready for our conference with the Senate. Not sure when we're going to go into conference, but whenever that happens, the House's budget is set at $113 billion. The healthcare budget's at $49.3 billion. We've incorporated some cuts in there. Obviously, the stuff we talked about last week related to infant mortality. So it's a very exciting budget. One thing that we did debate yesterday was the governor's authority on his kind of emergency management fund. There's been some controversy in Tallahassee over alligator Alcatraz and the fact that the U.S. Department of Justice is holding up and refusing to let the state be reimbursed the $500 million the governor spent without legislative approval out of that fund. And so there's been a big debate about whether or not, you know, the governor should be allowed to do such aggressive spending, engage in such aggressive spending without legislative approval in declared states of disaster that haven't been declared federally and aren't like natural disasters. So that'll be something we'll be debating and discussing over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll have a, you know, some type of fix going forward. I mean, Andrew, the governor committed $96 million for porta potties without any legislative approval for alligator Alcatraz. Porta potties.
Well, maybe
$96 million.
Maybe the newly announced public corruption unit will bring some light to all the various financial weirdnesses that have been going on in the state. And I mean, a boy can hope. Maybe this will all work out. What about local projects this year? What are some of the things? Because this is what people always also want to know about, is what money is coming back here locally to do things?
Well, on the House side, I can't speak to the Senate side, but on the House side right now, some of the things I have funded are things like money to help with South Navy Boulevard. You know, there was that announcement that Jimmy Patronis got some funds, so I put some money in the budget for to help augment that, to really get that project going.
This is the beautification and the slight redesign with the turnaround and all that kind of stuff and the signboard and all that. Okay, got it.
We got some money. The city asked for bollards, you know, to because it wasn't budgeted in their improvement to Palafox Street. So I got some money for the bollards in the House budget.
Oh, nice.
Got some money for the parking study. So a study to figure out what parking needs are downtown. Got some money for things like the Blue Angels Foundation, for things with
I understand.
Veteran support services. Veteran support services here downtown with groups like Homebase, who are doing a ton of great work for veterans, especially ones who suffered severe brain trauma. Things for the Andrews Institute, Babs Hospital. Man, I wish I should have pulled up the list before we did this interview, Andrew, because I've worked several million dollars in the budget. But again, until we get to conference with the Senate, we'll see what ends up coming out. But yeah, right now, hopefully, you know, this money to help with South Navy Boulevard, Carpenters Creek, things like that will stay in the budget and not get vetoed.
Hey, one last quick thing, only because it's relevant to the situation and you, but I think it's also a philosophically important to observe, point to observe. Going back to the $100,000 side gig for James Uthmeyer, Jeremy Redfern, who is his, deputy communications guy or something for the AG's office, lit you up on X, attacking you over and over again for your law firm's representation of Planned Parenthood, which you, of course, have nothing to do with, for you getting fired from the city of Milton. And to me, what I think is, when somebody engages in ad hominem attacks against the person instead of responding to the issue, especially the louder they get, the more true you know the criticism is. Do you feel that way? Like, the more you yell and scream about these things that have nothing to do with this issue, the more you're proving me right. It's a compliment of sorts.
Yeah. I mean, anytime somebody raises the ad hominem stuff instead of addressing the question, especially given the fact that, you know, James refused to answer the question at a press conference yesterday, it tells me I'm right, you know? I've developed some significant calluses over 8 years, Andrew. It's been a pretty rough and tumble 8 years. in House District 2. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like water off a duck's back. And, yeah, Jeremy gets paid $164,000, essentially just to troll on Twitter. So if we found some fraud, waste, and abuse, you know, fines in the state to look at ourselves, his job probably wouldn't be considered that valuable.
That would be one of the things that might go. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.